In the last 5 weeks, you've been saturated with different characteristics of what it means to be a thriving church. And now we are getting into the culmination of that. This is the last week that we're going to be talking about what it means to be a thriving, a growing, and a vibrant church. And as I've said during the first week when we launched our series of sermon on this, I said that God desires all His church to grow and to thrive. And we have seen, praise God, we have seen evidences of that already in the life of this church here at Plank Chapel. So for some, this is more like a reminder. And also, as well, for others, this will be a challenge for us that we can do more. So today, the final characteristic of a thriving church is that a thriving church must be an externally focused church. Say that with me, church. Externally focused church. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you again for intersecting our lives in this common place. We thank you also, O Lord, for the presence of those that are worshiping with us online. May I be decreased and decreased so that you may be increased and increased. And may your word pierce and penetrate in our hearts this morning. For in this we ask in your name. Amen. There is a movement that is happening across churches of all shapes and sizes and denominations. And it is gaining ground. It's getting attention and it's making a difference. It's slowly changing church benchmarks and statistics. These churches are evaluating the real matter and they are really reaching out to skeptical, hurt, and broken people through serving. And this movement is called, what is the title of that message? Externally Focused Church. According to Rick Rosso, who wrote of the same book, title, he said, and I quote, "An externally focused church are inwardly strong, but outwardly focused. They integrate good deeds and good news all together into the life of the church." Because these churches are engaged their communities with the good works and the good news of Jesus Christ, their communities are better places in which they live. They look for ways to be useful to their communities, to be part of their hopes and dreams. They build bridges to their communities instead of walls around themselves. They determine their effectiveness not only by internal measures, such as worship attendance, small groups, but also by external measures. Spiritual and societal impacts that have an impact in the communities around them. Externally focused churches measure not only what can be counted, but what matters most. The impact they have outside the four walls of the church. These are the churches that ask this question: whose lives are different because of this church? They seek to be the salt and leaven in the community. They see themselves as the soul of the community. And they would be greatly missed by the community if this church left. See, church, the externally focused church, it is a church that embodies the radical love of Jesus Christ. When he said from the gospel, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger and you welcomed me. I was in prison and you visited me." This is the church that somehow was able to really identify themselves into the Jesus thing, who embraced this life of service and witness into the community for which they were part of. See, that's nothing new for us as people called Methodists. From the very beginning, the Methodist movement is a movement that is externally focused beyond the walls of the church. For John Wesley, the Methodist movement is not just a personal salvation, an inner transformation in life. Rather, Wesley saw a faith that is dynamic and transformative, a faith that goes beyond the walls, and faith being put into practice, into the world that is in need of Christ. That's why the early Methodists brought the church to the community through giving to the poor. They visited in prison. They were in the hospitals. They were in the streets. They were in every place where there is hurt, where there is pain, where there is suffering. You can see the people called Methodists. John Wesley wants the people called Methodists to practice the greatest commandment in the Bible, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And not only that, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, an externally focused church is really embodying the Jesus model of what it means to put both the good deeds and the good news together. So I'm going to unpack you about three things. And some of this, again, is more like I'm speaking to the choir, because you are already embodying most of these features. The first is that externally focused churches are convinced that good deeds and good news cannot and should not be separated. If you notice during the Jesus life and ministry, what did Jesus do when he was walking on earth? He proclaimed what? He proclaimed the good news. He shared hope. He shared the good news of kingdom of God to the people that he encountered. And when the crowds were following Jesus, he welcomed them and spoke to them about this good news. Did he stop doing that after that? What's the next thing he did? He healed those who are sick. What else? He liberates those who are possessed by the devil. He exorcised them. He fed the hungry. He provided ways on how he offered good deeds after he shared the good news. Jesus went into towns and villages during his public ministry proclaiming this gospel. And it was accompanied by acts of mercy through healing and restoration and helping those in need. It has been said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Isn't that true? Even for us in the Christian community? That's why one of the most effective ways to reach out with the message of Jesus Christ is through acts of service and witness to the community. To tell the truth, we must show the truth. And it's the model that Jesus used time and time again. He served and he met those needs. And people listened. See, church, a thriving and a growing, vibrant church is an externally focused church that both practices good news and good deeds all together. And they are resolved that it's really not a church if it's not engaged into the life of the community through ministry and service to the world. And I think that's what we're capturing right now in the Connect process. We are seeing right now the needs of this community and how Plant Chapel will be able to participate in meeting those needs. I'm excited as we unfold that in the coming weeks to come. Not only that, the externally focused church are convinced that good deeds and good news cannot be and should not be separated. The second thing I want to share is that these churches see themselves as the salt and the light of the community. How many of you use salts at home in the kitchen? Everybody of us, right? What are salts for? Flavor. I said that this morning in two services. If there's no flavor, if there's no salt in your kitchen, then I'm pretty sure it will be a very bland and a very tasteless menu that you're cooking, right? I love to cook things with salt in it. And salt really put flavor. But there's another reason why salt is being used as a metaphor in the gospel, in the good news. What was the most other important thing that salt did during Jesus' time? Preservation. You all remember there was no refrigeration during the time. And so the salt is a very precious commodity that they use to preserve meats and fish, livestock. Think about what it means to be the salt of the world. As salt flavors the food, we are to flavor the world. We are to season and transform human activity in such a way that it reveals God to the world. It means we are to help people better see God's life in theirs. And Christ has given us the salt of his divinity. Not just for ourselves, but that others might eat better. And that salt of divinity that was poured out into our lives, we are called to sprinkle them to the world. And salt, as what we have said, serves as a preservative to stop decay. Salt has another purpose, and that is meant for us to stop the moral decay that has been infecting the scene by the sins of this world. In other words, you are called the preservatives of this world by professing and proclaiming your own witness and your own belief in God to this community and beyond. Not only that we are called the salt of the world, but also we are the light of the world. Hear this again. You are the light of the world. What does that look like? If you are the light of the world, our lives must be a witness to the world. The Greek word used here is very similar to the word for the beacon. How many of you have seen lighthouse? So lighthouse is being used as a metaphor here in the Greek version of light. And when the beacon, when the lighthouse is right there, it warns danger, right? It warns danger. It directs to safe harbor. It provides hope for those who have lost, who gotten lost. That's why the lighthouses are very important. Isn't that what we are called to be? To be the guide, to be the beacon for those who are lost. That's how powerful the word light is in the scripture. That is why we are called to be the light of the world. And as a church, we are also called to be the light, to be the beacon. How does that look like for Plank Chapel to be the light in this particular community? How can we show the way of Jesus? Perhaps through the journey, perhaps through the senior circle, maybe through the mission and ministry that God entrusted to us during the free market or the blessing box, or just being an individually bringing the church with us as we go out from the walls of this church. And finally, an externally focused church see themselves as the vital part in the healthiness and the well-being of the community. An externally focused church does not separate the church from the community. It is a church that sees themselves as part of the well-being of the community. In other words, a community that is growing and vibrant and healthy. It's a community where the church becomes a contributor in that healthiness. They believe that their communities, with all their aspirations and challenges, cannot be truly healthy without the church involvement. And they have moved beyond thinking about the church health apart from the community. As we prepare ourselves in this great feast, in this holy banquet on this World Communion Sunday, as we close this series of sermons on being a thriving church, I hope and I pray that we will recognize that God has placed us in this particular community for a reason. And that is for us to be the salt and light of the world. Amen?